We get to celebrate our freedom as a nation, our freedom as a people, our freedom in every area of our lives. Every area. You know, there once in the 1820s, there was a little boy called Sam was playing in the yard behind his house. During his pretend fighting game, he knocked over the outhouse. Now, Sam was upset and worried that he would get in trouble, so he ran into the woods and he didn't come out until after dark. When he arrived back home, his pappy was waiting for him, and he asked suspiciously, "Son, did you knock over the outhouse this afternoon?" "No, pappy," Sam lied. He said, "Well, let me tell you a story, son. Once not long ago, Mr. Washington received a shiny new axe from his father. Excited, he tried it out on a tree, swiftly cutting it down. But as he looked at the tree with dismay, he realized it was his mother's favorite cherry tree." His pappy paused. He said, "Just like you," he ran into the woods. When he returned, his pappy asked, "George, did you cut down that cherry tree?" George answered, "Father, I cannot tell a lie. I did indeed chop down that cherry tree." Then his father said, "Well, since you were honest with me, you are spared from punishment. I hope you have learned your lesson, though." So Sam's father asked again, "Did you knock down the outhouse?" "Pappy," he said, "I cannot tell a lie anymore. I did indeed knock down the outhouse." Then his father, without even thinking, grabbed his son and gave him a spanking. The boy whimpered and he said, "Pappy, I told you the truth. Why did you spank me?" His father said, "It's because George Washington's father wasn't in the tree when he chopped it down." It's always best to tell the truth, amen? Always best for all you young people and you older ones. But I think that most of us have learned that lesson. And all of us fall short at times in doing what we're supposed to do. You know, that today as we celebrate, even though all around this great nation, and I still believe with all of my heart, I've been in a few nations, and I believe with all of my heart, this is the greatest nation on the planet right now. And if you don't think so, especially if you're under the age of, let's say, 22, you've been lied to. Just want you to know. There's no greater nation on this planet than the United States of America right now. Oh, she's got problems. America's got problems because you live here. It's just that simple, isn't it? We make mistakes? Yep. Yep, there's mistakes in America because you live here. And there's going to be more mistakes in the future. Can we all agree? But it's still the greatest country on the planet right now. I want to read you a couple of stats before I, just to give you some facts, okay? The educational attainment has never been greater. 89% of Americans have a high school diploma. 61% have some college. 45% have an associate's degree. Where's Jay? Edgar, he got his associate's just last weekend, you know? Yeah. Now it's 46% instead of 45. 45% have an associate's or bachelor's degree. For comparison, 1952, 6.4% of Americans had college, had completed some college. 6.4%. We're the world leader in technological innovation. The telephone, television, airplane, internet, we're all invented here. Blood transfusions, heart transplants, all invented here. It's a great country. If we're no different than other Western democracies, then why were transformative companies like Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, Twitter, Netflix, Snapchat, Instagram, PayPal, Tesla, Uber, and Airbnb, just to name a few, all founded here? Since 1950, approximately half of all the Nobel Prize winners were awarded in the science fields have gone to Americans. We're only 4.3% of the world's population, and yet we create 30% of its wealth. 4.3%. God's hand is still on our nation. It's not because it's America, it's because of what it was founded on. Was there mistakes? Yeah. You know, our economy is number one by far than any other country in the world. If you took China's and Japan's and put them together, ours is still a bigger economy. So don't let them lie to you. Our military is one of the greatest defenders in the world today. Who said it? Where is she? American agriculture is the envy of the world. Our farmers now grow 5 times as much corn as they did in the 30s and 20% less on 20% less land. And the yield per acre has grown 6-fold in the past 70 years. And for decades, experts warned us that we had to end our addiction on foreign oil. And yet, thanks to new technologies, we are not just one of the world's largest energy producers, but also an exporter. And the U.S. also leads the world in science, engineering, and medicine. And no nation attracts more immigrants, more students, or more foreign investment capital than the United States of America. There's a reason why everybody wants to be here. Because it's the greatest country there is on the planet, with the greatest freedom, where any man, woman, or child can be anything they want to be. The only issue is, if you want to work, that four-letter word in America, nobody wants to work, they want everything given to them. If you want to work, you can be anything you want to be. I don't care where you came from. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you started out. God doesn't either. He said it's not the beginning of a thing, but the end. And if you want to work, you can be anything you want to be. And Americans are the most charitable people on earth. Did you hear that? The most charitable people on earth, both in the aggregate and per capita. The Giving USA Foundation reported that U.S. charitable donations hit a record $471.4 billion in 2020. That's just what we gave away. It's a great nation, ladies and gentlemen. Turn off your television. And anybody else that says anything contrary. Did she make mistakes? Yep. A lot of them. But because of what it was founded on, John Adams, he was the second U.S. president and a signer of the Declaration, he said, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. That's what we built it on. That's what we started on. And that's what we're going to live our lives in. Amen? So when they're out there espousing all kinds of foolishness and saying all kinds of craziness, just turn it off. Get back in the Word of God and keep building the kingdom of God. And then keep being the most charitable people on the planet. With your words of encouragement, with the strength that you have, with your kindness to those that you don't even know, blessing those that are cursing you. See, all of these things, it's not just our giving in the natural as far as monetary stuff, but it's the giving that we do around the world. We've got a team that's getting ready to go to Guatemala. We've got 28 of us going down there on Thursday, right? And here we are. Oh, which reminds me. Let's do that now, Mr. Johnson. Who's going to Guatemala? Come on up here. I want to do that now. Everybody going to Guatemala, come on. Can you tell them downstairs, Kev? Come on, guys. Come on, you wild, radical world changers. Wait a minute, Larry Walker? No. Come on. Oh, my. Guys, spread down this way. Come on down this way. Come on, move out. All right. Listen, you better make sure that you're always with the team because I ain't counting heads. Just so you know, when we get in another country, if you don't make it back, that's not my fault. Wonderful. You see, this is part of the charitable giving that we do. This is what we do. So where's the ushers? The ushers want to come forward? Where's Mr. John? Is he still down there? go grab them bags. The first thing we're going to do is take up an offering because we want to give to Guatemala. Amen? I mean, think about it. We have been blessed all the way through last year and this year. All of our needs are met continually. God is so good. And where we're going down, and for those of you that have already been there, already know, up into the mountains and stuff, they don't live like we live. Isn't that right? They kick a soccer ball that goes 100 yards downhills if it gets off the field. And they plant corn on hills like this, where they just put a couple of seeds in a hole with a stick as they walk across the mountains. And if it doesn't rain, it doesn't grow. But you know what we get to do? We get to build water lines that go around mountains, the villages that never had water. We get to bring them all kinds of beans and rice and seeds and stuff for the next growing season. We get to help put roofs on. We're going to be putting some rooms in the upstairs of a church for the boys, young boys and girls that they've lost their parents, because a lot of the parents die young over there. And so we're going to be building rooms in the second floor of the church that we built several years ago. I forget when we started that one in San Antonio. In 2011, we started building one in San Antonio. George was on that one. Yep. If George doesn't eat, he passes out in the back of the truck and flops around like a fish for a minute, and then his eyes roll back and he doesn't move. But you just give him some food and he wakes up. You know, that's like kryptonite for Superman, food for George. But, you know, we built the church. We dug the holes, poured the footings, and now it's a thriving church in San Antonio, Guatemala. And then we're going over to Liquidambo. And yes, that is the name of the town, Kim. She said, that's not the name of the town. That just sounds too funny. So we're going to go over to Liquidambo and work on the medical clinic that we built back in the 2000s, early 2000s, you know. So we've sowed seed into there, and we're going to sow some more, amen? And so this morning, as you give, know, as you give, what you sow, you're going to reap, amen? And as we give, we're not giving because of what we have. We're giving because of what he has given. That's how we give this morning. And so as we pray, and then we're going to take it up, and we're going to pray for these guys. But I just want to encourage you. Hudson, New York is touching Guatemala. We're going to be sending some finance over to Iraq, Egypt. These pastors over there are living on $180 a month. And you know, they're taking some of that to help their people that are in real need. Think about that. $200 a month, and they're taking some of their money to help their people that are in need. This is how they live. And then we get to sow into that and be a part of that harvest that's happening in Egypt. Amen? Man, it's exciting to give, isn't it? And we get to watch it. Maybe you can't go there yet, but we'll be going to Egypt one of these days. We'll be doing a medical mission going over there. Because you see, when we go to Egypt, we can't go into all the places and preach the word of God because it's a Muslim country. But if we do a medical clinic, they come out to us, then we get to preach. And so, you see, we just got to be clever. We got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so this morning, as we give to those that are in real need, because God has blessed this country above and beyond where we can give away 470 some billion dollars in a year. And they're living on next to nothing. Father, I thank you for the men and women that are here. I thank you on the inside of them and the Holy Spirit that empowers them. So they are going down to be the greatest servants that Guatemala has ever seen.
That's right.
Thanks, honey. I just love that girl. So this morning as we pray, and I pray that every single person in here would have an opportunity. We don't care how old you are either. We don't care how young you are. We just want you to go. I got an email yesterday from Enoch Miyambo. Now, is that a cool name or is that a cool name? My name is Enoch Miyambo. Man, that's a preacher's name, isn't it? He emailed me and he wanted to know if I would preach this morning at 4:00 in the morning. And I said, I can't this morning, but we're going to set it up in the future. It was the last church that I planted with Pastor Ephiel. For those of you who remember, he was just a wonderful brother. He was from Zimbabwe. We helped him build churches and worked on the orphanage over there. And he was about this big. And he would come up and he would say, "Man of God." Every time I met him. "Pastor Jerome, man of God." And I just miss my friend. Ah, but me and him, we went to South Africa and planted a church down there with Enoch Miyambo. And so next year, I'm going to go visit Enoch Miyambo down in South Africa, and we're going to start helping him establishing more, because his father in the faith went home to be with the Lord. And you know, you never know how God's going to connect you with people. And so maybe some, you know, start saving your monies. We'll go to Africa next year. It's not that far away. We'll just go over there and do what God's called us. It's 15 hours on an airplane and you're there, you know. And then we'll jump up to Zambia. We'll go meet the chief in Makuni and we'll help him establish some more of that work that's going on there. I don't know what God's got next year. But I know if we can have people that will say, "Yeah, I'll raise my own money and I'll go," that God will open up doors around the world. Amen? And he's been doing it. So let's pray, guys. Father, I thank you. Sorry. Where's Letty? Is she up here or is she downstairs?
They went back to the hospital.
Oh, they went back? Oh, okay.
They were here. She got a fever again, so they ran back up to the hospital.
Oh, okay. How old's Letty?
5.
She's 5 years old and she's got a tumor on her spine. A tumor in her spine, so they brought her back to the hospital. Let's just pray for her right now. Father, we just come before you, and we agree with your word that you said those stripes were for us, and you said it was a word of faith that healed the sick. So we just say, body be healed. Tumor die in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for a good report, and we thank you for the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, right now, we agree, and we thank you for the healing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
July 4, 1776. It was a document that was signed. And it said, "The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them to another and to assume among the powers of the earth to separate an equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them." Talking about the Lord. "A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men," tell your neighbor, say, "that's you, are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator," right, "with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Right. We know that last line, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Every single one of us, but nature's God. We know the creator of all things. John Adams, we read the quote already. They understood what they were building the premise on. They were flawed men and flawed women that came and stood on the word of God. And even what started, like with the 1619, you know, the project where they're trying to say that it started on something else besides the Declaration of Independence. They're trying to say that it started out wrong. But what it started out with was on the word of God. It took 100 years to fix the mistakes that were made in the beginning before that was broken with Abraham Lincoln. We understand that. But 1619 isn't when America began. They say that's when the first slaves came to America. And therefore, America was started in slavery, and therefore it's bad. America was started when the founding documents were signed. Men and women, look at, slavery was going on around the world. It still goes on in the world right now. It just has a different name. It's going on in America right now. It's called the sex slave trade, where it's trading young babies, little girls. They're selling them like commodities for the perversion of these men that should be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck, the Bible says. It's happening now. And yeah, she's made some mistakes, but I want you to know I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. And I thank God for every single person in here, no matter where you came from. Bill Murray said in the movie Stripes, right? We're all a bunch of mutts because our forefathers got thrown out of every decent country there was. So you're in good company. We all got thrown out, didn't we? And here we are, a band of brothers and sisters building for one purpose, that Jesus Christ be glorified and no man or no woman. Amen. That we don't get distracted with the foolishness that's going on in the world. So I want to ask you this morning, half the year is over. 6 months is up, half the year is over. Remember the first of the year, what you said you were going to do? How are you making out so far? How are you doing on them spiritual promises that you made to the Lord? How are you doing on Planet Fitness? After last weekend, I don't know. I ate a lot last weekend. But I want to ask you a serious question. Have you looked at them again? What has changed in your spiritual walk in the last 6 months? You see, because we can talk about it, we can proclaim it, but then it's going to have to change us. And we're going to have to go back, as Habakkuk 2 says, and look at what we wrote down in the beginning of the year. Re-look at that, because there's no reason to go forward if we're going to be disobedient to what God already said to us in the beginning of the year. Amen? Because every time, you're always going to have to go back to your last place of disobedience. Isn't that how it works? And why would he sit there and say, oh yeah, I'm going to use you for greater things? You didn't do what I told you to do in the beginning of the year. Don't worry about that. You can do whatever you want. That's not the way it works. The way it works is we're going to go back to see what God said to you. You go back and look at your paper and say, Lord, help me from here on out to go back and reread them and to get back at it and see what's changed. I pray that you've met every one of them that you wrote down. That's my prayer. But if you're like me, there might be some lacking that's going on because I haven't fulfilled every single one of them yet, but I'm working on it. And so I want to encourage you. Why? Because half the year is over. Let's not waste the next half of the year. Let's not wait till next year. Let's go back and look at it, reread it, put it before our eyes again and say, Father, help me to get back at this to accomplish what you said before the end of this year. Because I believe God's got more for you, amen? And I believe an act of obedience God honors very much. Is what you're living for bigger than what you're working for? Is what you're living for bigger than what you're working for? You know, what you're working for at the moment is not as big as or as precious as what you're living for, because we're living out our calling, amen? Tell your neighbor, say, you're called, and your calling is greater, come on, than what you're working for. Right. Did you guys all go out and watch fireworks last night, or why? There was a lot of them going off around my house. At least I think it was fireworks. You know, it's a weekend of celebration, and it all depends on perspective. And perspective means pertaining to the science of optics. Perspective is all how you look at it, how you see it. It's a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something or a point of view. It's a learned behavior or a decision, and it brings life or death. It allows freedom or it allows bondage, one of the two. See, your perspective is either going to bring you bondage or it's going to bring you freedom. Either Jesus Christ came to set you free and you're free indeed, or you're going to say, no, my situation is too big for Jesus. Which one is it? It's easy to tell by the smile on your face. Oh, look at all the smiles come all of a sudden. It's easy to tell. You see, because your perspective, if it's not lined up with the Word of God, your perspective is off. Because our perspective, our optics, when you look through binoculars, it brings everything a little bit closer. It takes that which is far away, which is undistinguishable, and it brings it up so you can tell what it is. And that's what perspective, when we look at the Word of God, it takes our whole life in, and it brings it right up close, and it says, this is life. John 17:3, right? This is life, knowing Jesus Christ, That's the optic. So first of all, when we get to that point, what is life? It's knowing Jesus Christ. Life is not your job. Life is not your house. Life is not anything else. Life is knowing Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in a good place. Is Asia here today? Asia Walker? She works at Lowe's. I invited her. She told me she was going to come today. I told her she never lied to me before. So therefore, I'll expect her here. I can't wait to go back to Lowe's. Me and Asia is going to have words. She's not even Latin. Can you imagine? Her name is Asia Walker. She's the first one that I've ever met in Hudson that isn't related to the Walkers. And she's got the same name. Go figure. But as we walk out, listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then your optics are wrong. You can't see clearly. And if we're not looking at the Word of God, guess what? You're looking at something else. Each one of us are looking at something else. God wants our eyes on Him. So your perspective this morning, well, Colossians 1:18, it says, He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in what? In what? In what? That's right. Some say He'll have preeminence. He'll have preeminence in everything. And that's a question we have to ask ourselves. You know, as we sit here today, have you given Him preeminence in everything? Is there anything that's outside that scope? Have the optics been off? You ever look through binoculars and they're not in focus? And things look worse at a distance. What in the world? You give them to a young person that doesn't know you can adjust the binoculars, and you adjust it for you, and you're in your 50s, and you don't see so well. And they look at it like, what the heck? These things don't work, Dad. Yeah, they do, son. You got to turn that knob a little bit, or maybe a lot. And it brings things into perspective. So is there something that you, when you look in the mirror, is there something that's out of focus when you look in the mirror? Or are you fearfully and wonderfully made? Is that the confession that you make when you look in the mirror? Do you make that confession that my God is for me, and if my God is for me, who could be against me? Is that the confession? Because if not, your optics are wrong. If not, you're looking at something from the wrong point of view. You're taking in from yesterday, which God said, hey, we washed that away. All things have been made what? New. You're brand new this morning. You're free this morning to see things clearly. That every single thing you put your hands to today is going to prosper. Tomorrow, what is it going to do? What about on Tuesday? What about the rest of the week? What about the rest of your life? Right? Is there any doubt on that? You know how many times I hear, yeah, well, it works for you, Pastor, but it doesn't work for me. What kind of a God do we serve? What kind of a thought process is that? You know how many times you hear that? Well, faith works for you, brother, but it doesn't work for me. Faith works for everybody who believes. The problem with faith is when you get your eyes off of something, onto something else besides the Lord Jesus Christ, your optics get all messed up. And you start looking at what somebody else did. I want you to know what God wants you to do is different than what He wants me to do. What God's got for you is different than the person sitting next to you. It's altogether different. Right? Kathleen gets up and dances sometimes. I don't know if that's Jeremy's gift. It could be, but his is more on the bass. And that's not Kathleen's. Can we agree? Right. So your gift is different than the person next to you. When Kia gets up here, she gets up in everybody's grill. She preaches hard. She says mean things. Oh, but everybody loves her. Kia, that was amazing. I say the same thing. Pastor, you're mean. Can't believe you said that. What is your problem? Do you need Jesus? Kia says it. Oh, Kia, it was amazing. It was wonderful. That's what I needed to hear. I've been saying it for 20 years. But Kia says it. Isn't it true, though? Everybody has a different gift, right? And you hear differently because the optics are different. You see, when people have a problem with male authority, most people, look how quiet it gets. Wow. Now let's throw this sermon out and let's start with a new one. How about male authority? No. We don't need them other ones. But it's all about perspective. We're going to have to get our perspective right because you're going to have to get your optics right. You're going to look at, there's a lot of things that are coming down the line. If you believe that we're living in the last days, there's some stuff coming down the line that you're not going to be able to look at. Because if you do, you're going to get your eyes off of Christ and it's going to cause you to draw back. The Bible says this isn't a time to draw back. Amen? So what is your perspective on you? Because see, that's where we got to start. First, our perspective on who God is. He is the Almighty. Amen? There is none besides Him. Amen? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Do we agree? Right. So we're getting that optic right. When that blood comes and washes you, how many of your sins are washed away? For how long? Forever. That's right. So do we have to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry I stumbled again? Yeah. But do we sit there and dwell on it? Do we zoom in on our mistake? Hang on a second, everybody. I'll be back in a couple weeks because I got to look at the vomit that I've been staring at. I got to look at my mistake and zoom in on that. Look at that, you failure, you loser. It works for others, but not for you, you pathetic puke of a Christian. Now, maybe you don't say that to yourselves, but probably somebody has. But that's what happens when we get our perspective wrong. We start looking at yesterday's mistakes. Or we start zooming in on what somebody else said about you. How about we zoom in on what he said about you? He said you look like him. That means you're good looking. That's right. You can say whatever you want in the mirror. But I know for me and Larry, we're good looking, ain't we, Larry? Yeah, doggone right. She's a blessed woman marrying him. You know what? That's a good looking man right there. My good, hey, you can have whatever confession. You're a blessed woman this morning, Brenda Ann. You'll have what you say. It's just that simple. You can agree, you see, because sometimes we look and say, oh, well, you know, you're stuck with me. You know how many times I've heard that? I'm stuck with that person. No way. I am blessed with her. And she is thoroughly blessed with me. You see, that's the optics I'm looking through. Why? Because when I look at it through that optics, at the end of the day, I'm running home, baby. Can't wait to see her. Because she said that she's so excited she's married to me. It's just that simple. And then when I walk through the door, it's, hello, beautiful. Hello, you gorgeous woman of God. I'm going to encourage her and thank God for the gift that I have. That's the optics I'm wearing. And that's what I'm saying. Because I know that's what God does for me. When God looks at me, he says, come on, son, get in here. Hello, son, I love you. I dance over you. I sing over you. There's nothing lacking in you. I've supplied it all. You see, or we can look at with the discouragement. Remember Elijah? Right? He just had one of the greatest acts, the greatest feats. He goes up against Baal and the 400 priests and he kills them all. And then what happens? A couple days later, I want to die. God, kill me. I hate my life. It's too hard. See, because after every great victory is always the time for the greatest defeat. Because if you change your optics and you look at your victory instead of Jesus Christ, our victories are given to us by Christ. So we're not looking at our victories, we're looking at the King of victory. Amen? He who is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, there's nothing to fear. But some people walk around in discouragement. That's their optic. They don't remember how glorious a day was when they got saved, and they start looking at anything else that has gone bad and say, oh, this is horrible. Christianity is so hard. You know why it's hard? Because your flesh is so strong. Isn't that what makes it hard for us? Is your spirit weak? No, the Bible says your spirit's strong, right? He put a what? Right spirit. If the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, let me tell you something, that spirit's strong. If it conquered death, hell, and the grave, if it heals the sick, that's a powerful spirit that lives on the inside of you, amen? Right, is that your optic, or are you just trying to get by? How about anger? Maybe that's your optic, right? God showed Moses. He took him out of Egypt. All the people followed him. And then what happened? He got tired of their grumbling and complaining. God said, speak to the rock. He said, these people! And he whacked the rock. They're driving me insane. And God said, well, you're not leading them into the promised land because you didn't listen. I told you to speak to the rock, not hit it. What happens when anger controls us? Then it eliminates us from all that God has for us. Amen? See, we got to be careful about what optics we're using. How about bitterness? Is that your optic this morning? Remember Ruth? Ruth left, went to another country. She buried her husband. She buried two of her sons. And what did she do when she came back? They said, is that Ruth? And she said, don't call me Ruth anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Naomi, sorry. What? Yeah, not Ruth, Naomi. Thank you, dear. Naomi left, buried her husband, her two sons, came back and said, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Is that the optic that you're looking through today? I just want to encourage you, because if you are, we got to change your view. We got to adjust your glasses. You need a new prescription. You need a new one. Throw them glasses out. Smash them. Stomp on them in the name of Jesus. If you need money, see the Romanos. We've got to keep a biblical perspective. We got to give him first place in everything. Amen? Isaiah 55, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways aren't your ways, declares the Lord. When we do not think like God, we are not in his image. Did you hear that? When we don't think like God, we are not living in his image. Because if you're not going to think like him, you're not going to speak like him. And if you're not going to speak like him, people's lives around you aren't going to change, and yours isn't going to change either. So we've got to be careful about our perspective. You know, we cannot say Jesus as Jesus did. You know, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And I want to encourage you this morning. This is my thought. Your perspective is that when you walk out, your words, your actions, your desires, what you give to, like this morning, given to Guatemala, all of that is, if they've seen you, they've seen the Father. What is it in our lives that doesn't look like the Father? Because it's something that we've zoomed in on that is not of him. Because when we look at the Word of God and we zoom in on that, then when they see us, they see the Father. That's his desire. He wanted himself expressed through us so that all would come to know him. Amen? All of us would come to know him in such a deep, personal, intimate way that love, because you can't, we were talking about this earlier, you can't do it in your own strength. But when you fall in love, all things become possible, don't they? You fell in love. What became possible? She actually said yes. How miraculous was that? I mean, look in the mirror, fellas. She was blind with love. All right? You know it. I know my bride was. Love does crazy things to people. But when we fall in love with God, he gets to do crazy things through us. I don't want to just live a normal Christian life where we just go to church on Sunday. I want to live something extraordinary. I want to live so in love with God that I believe everything he says. I trust him every time he calls me close to himself, and I step out in faith no matter what it looks like. Amen. That's the kind of love. But if our optics are right, if we're looking at him, the author and the finisher, because if he authored it in my life, he's able to finish it in my life. If he started a good thing, he's able to complete it, the scripture says. See, if our optics are right, then our lives are rich with the word of God. And it's rich with things that we fill it up, like going to Guatemala. Going up on top of a mountain in Guatemala. No running water for 4 days. Yes. When we get back to town and take a shower, it's cold water. Yes. Can't wait. That's living. That's these hot showers. Sissy Mary's want hot showers all the time. But you see, when you fall in love, the shower doesn't mean anything. When you fall in love with God, wherever he takes you, Reinhard Bonnke stands in a field with 1.5 million people listening, listening to hear one man express Jesus Christ in such a way that they see the Father represented and they said, I want Jesus. 1.5 million at a time. I want you to know what he's called you to do is just as powerful. Just as powerful is what he's called Reinhard Bunke to do. It all depends on your optics, what you're looking at. So let's throw everything else out of our lives that doesn't have him first and foremost. Let's throw everything out. Get your eyes off of what you've done or anybody else has done to you. If somebody's offended you, go to them, the Bible says. Just go to them and apologize or forgive them. Can you give this to Joanne? I stole it from her. Just go to them and repent. How easy is that? It's what the Father's called us to do. And then before you leave, bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's what healed people are, right? What was it? Jensen Franklin that said we need to learn to love like we've never been hurt? That's what freedom looks like. The optic says, the natural man, the flesh says, look at my hurt, look at my pain, look at all the things that people have done to me. The word of God says, I've cleansed you, I've washed you, you're made new. That's not who you are. I made a new you. I made a new you. I like the new version of you. That old version was ugly, mean, nasty, wretched. That new version of you, it's impressive. And it's to reflect Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we're here. And so this morning,